Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, Nate, so that puts a wrap on the 2018 season for the Bills. They finished about what we expected this year, 6-10. We knew this was going to be kind of a step back for them this year, given all the dead money they took with the cap, and it seemed like it was just planned by management to go this way. Unfortunately for Kyle Williams, he had to go out during a season like this. But I think he can leave knowing that the franchise is in good hands and, you know, has a really good positive outlook going forwards.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that 100%. I would imagine he decided to come back for one more year because of the feeling of being in the playoffs last year. Like, he probably, that's the best he's ever felt as a football player, I imagine, and he decided to want, you know, give it one more year. And I think he had to have known coming into this year that they weren't going to be as good. And knowing who Kyle is, he likely just embraced that and just wanted to help make the young guys better and set the franchise off on a better foot for the future. And I would say for sure he did that. And I look forward to him going up on the wall, hopefully next season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you definitely need his leadership and guys like him during that kind of transition period where, okay, they broke the drought, but we all knew that team wasn't really any good. They weren't a contender. You know, they were just well-coached and happened to win 9 games almost by accident. You need a guy to lead the locker room through that kind of transition phase from, okay, we have to hit the reset for a year, but this is our leader. This is the guy that can mentor young guys like Harrison Phillips, Josh Allen, show them how to lead. And, you know, Kyle Williams is an all-time great Buffalo Bill, probably the best defensive tackle they've had in franchise history. And I don't know if he's quite a Hall of Famer, but he was a guy that was really good for a really long time. And that is something that's pretty rare in this league, especially at that position.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to play the number of years he played at the level he played at, it doesn't happen much anymore. And the Bills have two guys, they can say, who are having great seasons this late in their career. And I think I'm just glad that Kyle was a Buffalo Bill. I was so happy for him when he got that catch on Sunday. Even though, like you showed me today, Alex, Charles Clay was wide open downfield on that play.
Yeah, that was funny. I mean, Charles Clay, there was no one within 10 yards of him. He probably would have dropped the ball anyways, but it was awesome.
That'd be a typical Clay thing to do.
Yeah, so Kyle Williams, all-time great Buffalo Bill. We'll certainly miss him, but you know, it's time for the franchise to get younger, and I think they're in a good position to do that, especially with Josh Allen putting up a 5-touchdown game and being the AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Yeah, he saved a great game for the last game of the season. He didn't play perfectly. One of the touchdowns was because of a bad throw, but that stuff's going to happen, and he closed out the season with a bang. And he's got to be the first Bills quarterback to be Offensive Player of the Week in a very long time. Since Drew Bledsoe. First one since Bledsoe in 2002.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess, like you said, Allen did make one pretty big mistake. But other than that, he was really good. And I don't know how much we can take away from that with Miami. Pretty much looks like they had quit on the season. They quit on their coach who got fired. Their quarterback's probably going to be gone. That's just kind of a franchise in disarray. It's kind of crazy to think that team's 7-9 to finish one game ahead of the Bills in the standings, but those are two completely different outlooks going forward.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I would much rather be in Buffalo's locker room than Miami's right now. Miami's going to have to go through a pretty much a total reset. I mean, they're going to find a new head coach. They need to find a quarterback. There's just so much going on there that they're just trending in the wrong direction. I mean, they have to take that full step back that Buffalo kind of took this year, even though it wasn't like a 2-14 season. It was a big step back. Miami's got to do that now.
Yeah, and Nate, I guess that brings us to our next question here I have for you. We thought this was going to be potentially a 2-14 season, maybe, especially how we started with those two awful games against the Ravens and I can't even remember the Chargers.
Chargers.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It was a really poor start. So given the expectations, how would you summarize the season? You know, give us your assessment of how things went.
I would say in terms of wins and losses, it was, you know, right around where I expected. I think I had said either 5-11 or 4-12, about that 4-6 range. So in that terms, it was, you know, right around where I expected. Overall, I think it beat my expectations, though. I did not expect Josh Allen to look this good and to improve that quickly, and I think that is what I'm going to most take away from the season is I think the Bills might have gotten the quarterback right.
Yeah, it was kind of a roller coaster. We started off really rocky, and Nate, you and I both thought, whoa, this might be a 1-15, 2-14 team because the defense was playing so poorly to start the year. But they go into Minnesota with a rookie quarterback and dismantle a 17-point favorite on the road. And then there's kind of just a lot of mediocrity in the middle. And then things ended on a brighter note with the offense starting to look competent. And that's because of the quarterback and pretty much only the quarterback. And that's the first time we can say that in a really long time in Buffalo. And Nate, like you said, I thought they'd be somewhere in that 6-9 win range, depending on how good the defense was. It ended up being pretty accurate. There's games they probably could have won if the offense had done anything, and they didn't. But that's what we have to look forward to next year, is there's about $88 million in cap room last time I checked before they, you know, make any cuts of guys that won't be on the team next year. And I liked what Brandon Bean said, that they'll be judicious with the cap space and not aggressive. They're not just going to throw money at guys because they have it. That's how you get into the situation they were in with Charles Clay collecting $10 million a year and so on. I mean, I think they're going to be smart with the money. They don't have to spend it all. You can carry over some into 2020 where the free agent class looks a lot better, but there's definitely some holes that can be filled in the offseason here in free agency, and I'm excited for the draft too.
Yeah, I mean the draft looks good this year at a lot of the positions the Bills need the most help at, which is I think a pretty good thing to see. And but I completely agree also with with Brandon Bean, and I hope they stick to that, because you don't want to get in the situations where they're dealing with the contracts of another Charles Clay contract, even and I would argue another LeSean McCoy contract, the Darius contract they had to get rid of. You don't want to have to deal with those 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't want... I do think they made a mistake paying Star Laulewa as much money as they did. I mean, he's been an average to above average, you know, one-tech defensive tackle for them this year, but is it a guy that's worth $10, $11 million on your cap hit for the next 4 years? That I'm not so certain of. I mean, he's probably going to be here another 2 years until they can really get out of that deal without causing themselves a bunch of dead money. But I don't expect them to just throw money at kind of second tier players like Star Laulewa, at least that aggressively. You know, they might have to overpay to get guys to come to Buffalo, but hopefully it's not to the extent where they're paying a guy 5 years, $50 million, when his value is nowhere near that.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is they do have some room to overpay slightly, like you said, to get a guy to come to Buffalo, as long as they plan for that down the road. Because of the massive amount of cap space they do have, they have some room to slightly overpay, but they can't go overboard and overpay like 4 guys because of all their space.
Right, and eventually you're going to have to pay Josh Allen if he ends up being the franchise guy. So they have to be careful and look forwards, and not just what can we do in the next 2 or 3 years to make this an immediate contender. It's how can you make it a contender in the next couple of years and not screw yourself completely, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road.
Yeah, and it's not easy to do that as a general manager. That's why, I mean, it's hard to build a roster that wins long-term in this league because of things like that. That's why you see so few teams, even some of the teams with franchise quarterbacks. There's really one team in the last 20 years that's been good, always been good, and not had one down year ever. And that just shows the actual parity in this league. I mean, really one team that's never been bad since, like, what, 2002?
Yeah.
And so that's just kind of where yes, you have to be cautious, but building a winner is hard, and they're going to take some risks to do so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what they can do. Last year, we knew they weren't going to be spenders at all for the most part. They spent on Trent Murphy and Starlet Tuvalu to kind of shore up that defensive line, which was much better as a whole unit. You can kind of quibble over how much those two guys had a part in that. But I'm excited for going forwards, Nate. We'll probably take a few weeks off here until, you know, some point deeper into the playoffs where we can, you know, give you guys our thoughts on that. And we'll go back and look at Nate and I's preseason predictions once the awards are out so we can laugh at those. And then we'll get into the full off-season mode. Just because the season's over does not mean we will stop here. Nate will probably do what we did last year, where we'll break down each position group, take a look at, you know, what's on the roster, what's out there in free agency, and, you know, potential draft prospects. You know, keep you guys entertained leading up to the new league year, about that second week of March.
Yeah, I mean, the second the 2018 season ends, the 2019 season starts. The NFL has really, truly become a year-round thing, both for fans and players, coaches alike. And I'm excited to get started on the next season. I'm the most excited I've been for the Buffalo Bills in a very long time.
Yeah, and I think that just kind of goes to show how well this team has been coached and managed in the front office, at least in the first couple years of the Bean McDermott duo. They ended the season on an up note, you know, kind of showing progress. And that's so much better than what the Dolphins did, where they started 3-0 and then just completely tanked the rest of the year and went in the complete opposite direction. I'm excited for what Bean and McDermott can do going forwards. I don't necessarily agree with everything they do, but it's the best duo we've had in a long time in Buffalo, and I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with all of that. And I want to end, Alex, with one question for you.
Okay.
How many wins next year do the Bills need to have for you to not be disappointed in the season? As of right now, how many wins do they have to have next year where you can say that I'm happy with that?
I'm going to say they have to win. They have to have at least a 500 record. I think 8-8. 9-7. It also depends on injuries and what happens there. Like, say Josh Allen goes down and misses 4 or 5 games, that kind of changes.
Oh yeah, that would kind of, yeah, absolutely. That would change. I'm saying, yeah, I'm just going in general. As of right now, knowing the roster they have right now for next year, because we haven't gone through any of that new process yet. But just seeing the progress they made this season, so do you think 8 wins is the least they could have, or you could say you'd be happy with that?
I would say with the roster they have now, 7 or 8 wins I'd be happy with the roster they have now, but I know they're going to spend some money on positions of need in free agency. I know they're going to, you know, address, well, Barnaby doesn't draft for need, but he takes the best player available. They're going to have better players in the draft than they have on the roster now. I'm going to expect at least 9 wins next year, barring, you know, significant injuries to important players. What do you think?
Yeah, I would go with, for right now, with the team they have, I would say they need to win at least 8 games next year, and I hope that the offseason brings it up for me to 10. That's where I hope they get to.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of feel like a little bit of the Chicago Bears. Maybe not quite as rapid of a turnaround, but if you're a Bills fan, you kind of look at that as the model, where you have second-year quarterback, coaching staff really gets things in order, you put some talent around that quarterback, you have a lights-out defense. It kind of feels like the same path to me.
It does, and I think that's really where they were going, and that's kind of the model they built in Carolina that got them to a Super Bowl, and I think that's kind of the direction they were going in.
All right, Nate, so anything else you want to add for our season wrap-up podcast?
I think I'm good. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to 2019.
I am as well. So that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am your co-host, Alex Ballinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating wherever you get your podcast, and share it with a friend so we can keep growing the community. You can follow us on Twitter, @Bills_Breakdown. We'll be a little bit more active there once we get into the off-season stuff, but you can look there for links to the pod. And thank you for listening.